service this morning in Jesus' name. We are excited to be here on a special special day, special occasion. We want to welcome the 2018 Alphabas Ambassadors here. They are a singing summer team. I don't want to try to make that too cheesy for you, but they are a group of five young adults who travel this summer. They've given their summers to travel the country. I've been out to the East Coast, at least that far anyway, traveling to different churches and putting on concerts. They've done some Bible camps, so forth, and so they're going to have the bulk of our service this morning. We're looking forward to what they have to share with us. They have a display out in the back or in the hallway too. If you're curious to learn more about the Bible school and what that is, and so forth, you can find a lot of information out there. You can speak with them after the service. You can talk to myself. There's several other alumni from the Bible school here too. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry, and we're just so thankful that you guys could be here. So thanks for doing that. They're going to have the bulk of the service today, so it's gonna have a very different feel this morning. I'm going to give a little sermon, but it's a little bit shorter, and I thought instead of doing the summer series that we're in on the Apostles' Creed, that we would just skip a week for that, and so that we can devote more time fully to that later. And so I thought, well, what should I preach on? I'm just going to preach on singing today too, since that's going to be kind of the theme. And so we're going to do that a little bit later as well. I want to share with you just a few announcements and prayer requests. There's sadly a lengthy list here in my notes of families to pray for who have lost loved ones here in the last week. Dorothy Russum, her sister passed away this week, and so we are praying for their family. Keep them in prayer here. The service was yesterday up in Park River, and so keep praying for them. Pray for the family of Roland Peterson, who was a longtime member here at St. Paul's. He passed away this week. That service was on Thursday here in town. Pray for the Avila and Hermansley families. We are aware that the Avila name, they're the family that was deadly accident down by Hankinson earlier in the week. The young mom who was killed was a sister to Daisy Hermansley, who's a sister-in-law to Wade and Marta, and Daisy and Adam have been attending here too. And so pray for the Hermansley family, pray for the Avila family. Those were private services, and I believe they were yesterday. I could be wrong on that too, but keep praying for that family. Pray for the Radke family. That was the other one involved in that accident, and especially for the young boy who is grieving, hurting, not just physically, but with the anguish of responsibility for that accident as well. And it's just an awful, awful thing. So pray for all of those people. Pray for the family of Mark Amiot. Some of you remember Alex and Julia Amiot, who attended here while they were in college, and then Alex, they joined the church, and then Alex has been in seminary and is now a pastor in Thief River Falls. And Alex's dad, Mark, died here the other night, and those services are going to be tomorrow up in Beltrami at our AFLC church there. So pray for the Amiot family. And then a couple other prayer requests. Pray for Ken Loken. He was able to get in and see some doctors down at Mayo this week. He is back home now, resting. But keep praying for him. There's a lot of work left to do there as far as healing and so forth. They have more appointments scheduled here in the weeks to come. And so just keep praying for rest and for healing for Ken. And then a word of praise. We are excited to announce the birth of Elijah Dahl, who would be John and Sophia's new baby boy as well, who was born the other night. Mom and baby boy are doing very well, hopefully getting home sometime today. And so we are praising God for that gift of life there as well. The only other thing that I want to mention is you can see there's other things in your insert too, so take a look at that if you're able. Next Sunday night, we're having our second Vespers service of the summer. So think about coming out to that. It's an informal time of worship and devotion and testimony, so forth. We'd be happy to have you. It's at 6:30. It's for anybody to come, but especially if for whatever reason you can't be here next Sunday morning. It's an alternative if you're out at the lake or camping or whatever. You can get back into town for that evening service, and that's a great way to do that here as well in these busy summer weekends. And so make a note of that if you're able to be a part of that. We're glad for visitors. I don't think I welcomed you, but glad you could be here, especially today on a special service. Are there any other announcements that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning. It's from Psalm 96. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are great, and you are greatly to be for your done, for your marvelous wonders, for your works in creation, for your salvation, your victory over sin and death and the devil, God. We join together now this morning to celebrate you and to celebrate your victory and to celebrate the life that we have in you. And I pray that as we spend these next moments in song, Lord, in testimony, in your word, that you would remind us just how great you are and how loving you are to us as well. We praise you. We love you today. Bless this time, we ask in your name, amen. This time we'll call on the ambassadors.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown
race, ye ransomed from the fall.
Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all.
So good to see all of you this morning, and we're excited to be here worshiping with you. As was mentioned, we're the ambassador team from Afflebus, and my name is Stefan Moen, and I'm from Corcoran, Minnesota.
I'm Brianna McNear, I'm from Jamestown, North Dakota.
My name is Megan Olson, and I'm from Oxbow, North Dakota.
I'm Michael Olson, and I'm from Beaumont, Alberta, Canada.
And I'm Chanel Peterson from Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
John chapter 1, verse 14 reads, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
In the first light of the new day, no one knew he had arrived. Things continued as they had been, while the newborn softly cried. But the heavens, wrapped in wonder, knew the meaning of his birth. In the weakness of a baby, they knew God had come to earth. Ooh. As his mother held him closely, it was hard to
and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Oh God.
We know that God has had mercy upon us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness."
Everybody. As I said before, my name is Chanel Peterson, and I'm from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, so not all that far from home. Fargo feels a lot like home. But today I have the opportunity to share a little bit about, I was thinking about, well, life. And as I sat down to think about what I wanted to say, I was thinking about, well, I could share about how I came to know the Lord. That's a pretty typical thing that people do on a Sunday morning for a testimony. But sometimes when I think about that, the first thing that pops into my head is, honestly, with a childhood like mine, how could somebody help but grow up knowing the Lord? I was blessed with two parents who are church-going, held family devotions every night with my sister and I before we would go to bed, and they started that as soon as we were able to understand. They took me to Sunday school, where I learned from a very young age that Jesus had died to save me from my sin. They spoke of their faith often and openly in our home. And so when I was only, I think, 5 years old, I remember kneeling with my mom in our family's living room and asking Jesus to come into my heart, not because I didn't know him, but because I had come to this realization for the first time in my own little five-year-old mind of how much I did need him. And nothing really changed, admittedly, in my life at that point in time, right after that, because I was five. But as I continued to grow older, I learned a lot about what the Christian walk really looked like and what my faith really meant. And I began to draw a lot closer to the Lord. But as I entered high school, I slowly became more caught up in social status, in popularity at school. It was about my looks, my good grades, my social status, the amount of friends that I had. Obviously, there's a pattern here. I felt like my life was out of focus. And so every aspect of my life was suffering because of that. Jesus felt distant, and it felt like I didn't have that friend that I could turn to at any time. And although I went to church every Sunday, and I went to youth group on Wednesday nights, and lived the good Christian life from what you could see, it didn't feel that way to me. I was distracted, and looking back, it's almost as if I had put self on the throne of my life, that was the top thing for me. But maybe nobody would have noticed that looking at my life, because outwardly I was professing to be a Christian. But the summer before my junior year of high school, the Lord really broke me. All at once, one afternoon, I realized how empty that perfect life I was living really was. My sin was laid before my eyes, and I was ashamed. I realized I had become like the church in Revelation that had forsaken their first love and run after the worthless items of the world, in my case, self, popularity, and social status. But graciously, the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin and worked repentance in my life. It was at that time that I had to make some really tough decisions for myself of how my life was going to look because of the way that God was working in it. For me, that looked like making the tough decision to leave public school and start homeschooling, giving up friends, social activities, and popularity for the sake of knowing Jesus. And at first, that seemed like the most unbearable sacrifice and trial that I could go through when I was 17. But I would gladly do it again if it meant that I could grow that much closer to Jesus. He was so faithful, although I had been faithless. And although I had turned away and walked in my own way, he had never turned away from me and had never forsaken me. When I wasn't seeking him, he had never stopped seeking me out. And that same thing still happens today. The Lord continues to teach me a lot about his faithfulness. I've been struck at Bible school by the story of God's chosen people, Israel, who wandered from God for hundreds of years, chasing after idols and forgetting what the Lord had done for them. But in the midst of their rebellion and their sinfulness, God was pursuing his faithless people. It was in the midst of their running that he sent Christ to die on their behalf. And even though I sometimes continue to run from the Lord because I sin and I mess up every day, I realize that Christ was sent to die on my behalf at that same point when I couldn't do anything to save myself as an ultimate gift of love. I am Israel, and I ran from Read in Lamentations, the steadfast love, but that's not the end of the story. Because as we read in Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Thank you.
Psalm 95, verse 1 says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. At this time, we'd like to invite you to stand as you are able and to sing a couple of congregational songs with us.
Trust the sweetest frame, but holy. Yeah.
seat.
Philippians 3 verse 8 says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ."
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Art best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my
Philippians verse, chapter 3, verse 20 reads, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ."
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't
feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back home.
Oh, can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. In the sweet by and by, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful, beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
They are pretty good, aren't they? Fun to listen to them. It's usually not a good idea to do ranking with these kinds of things, but I think that's maybe my favorite arrangement of Be Thou My Vision I've ever heard. And so thank you very much for blessing me personally that way here today. You're not quite done hearing from them yet. They'll be back for a little bit more and a little bit later in the service. For now, we're going to take an offering. And because the concert is on a Sunday morning, we're still going to be having our regular offering for our congregation here. But if you would like to give to the Ministry of the Ambassadors, believe it or not, it does cost them money to travel and so forth like that throughout the summer. There is a basket out on their table that I put out there that you can put money into. If you want to write a check for the Ministry of the Ambassadors, you can make that out still to St. Paul's and then just put in the memo line for the ambassadors, and you can put that check either in that basket or in our offering plate, and Becky will make sure to get it to the right place too. But just make sure that when you write it to St. Paul's that the memo line says it's for the ambassadors, and like I said, anything for them you can put out in the basket on the table out there as well. And so with that, I'll call the ushers to wait upon us at this time. Thank you for these gifts. Thank you for the many ways in which you so richly and abundantly provide for us. Thank you for this day, and thank you for the gift of music. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Like I mentioned earlier, I thought it might be appropriate and fun and good and healthy to preach on a song today as well, and so that's what we're going to do. It's in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, and I'm going to read the entire song, which is 18 verses. And so, as I read this, I would ask if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. This is the song of Moses after they crossed the Red Sea safely. Exodus 15, beginning with verse 1. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as stone till your people, O Lord, pass by. Till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them on your mountain. The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode. The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Father, these are your words. This is a beautiful, majestic song that is written to give glory to you. And I thank you, God, for the gift of song and the purpose that it has to sing glory and praise to your name. Lord, I pray that you would fill our hearts this morning with your grace, with your love and mercy and praise and thanks to you for who you are and all that you have done for us. Bless this time, we pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever witnessed a miracle? Has a miracle ever happened to you? It's possible that that question directs our minds to something supernatural physically, perhaps. I think that's the most common place, whether it be a physical healing or a near miss with some sort of terrible accident, perhaps. If you are a football fan, and a Vikings fan in particular, you may remember the Minneapolis miracle, a crazy play in the playoffs last season. I was reminded of it the other night when the play won an award for the best moment in sports in the last year. That's the Minneapolis miracle, the best moment in sports in an entire year. You may also remember that euphoria lasted just about a week until they got crushed the next week and let us down for the 5 millionth time, it seems. Okay? In general, we think of miracles as these great things, right? But they're either temporary in our minds or they happen to other people and they're really nice and exciting, and if only something wonderful would happen to us. Did you know that if you are a Christian, a miracle has happened in your life? That a miracle has happened to you, and it doesn't let you down after a week. You, if you are a Christian, have been brought from spiritual death to life, from an eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven. That, friends, is a miracle. Moses and the Israelites got a taste of that, and when they did, it led them to sing this song. They were dead in the water, pun intended. Their backs were up against the Red Sea, and their enemy was bearing down on them. Hope was fading fast. You could say that to the Israelites, hope was long gone. They cried out to Moses in chapter 14, "You brought us out here to die. What have you done? We told you this was going to happen." You know, this is an important point to be made this morning. The miracle that's about to happen to them didn't happen because of their great faith or piety. Too often, we turn faith into a prerequisite for God's action and not a response to His grace. Think about that for a minute. Okay, life is going poorly. If only I had better faith, I'd have avoided this. Or God would treat me better if I had better faith. Or if I had better faith, I could get out of this. Do you hear the problem with that? If that were the case, if your faith, well, if your life status were dependent on your faith, you would be in trouble. Your faith would never be good enough because your faith will never be strong enough to avoid sin altogether or to conquer sin's ultimate consequence, death itself. And so on your own, you are in trouble. You need a miracle. Moses replied to the people in chapter 14, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. The Lord will fight for you." Isn't that good news? "And you only have to be silent." Moses raised his arms, and the waters of the Red Sea parted, and the Israelites escaped death miraculously and were brought safely to the other side. This miracle was not just a supernatural phenomenon, friends. This was God, and put yourself in this situation. This was God pouring out His mercy and steadfast love on His people. And they saw that. They saw their salvation. They saw their enemy defeated by the Lord, and in faith then, believing in God's promise and His work of salvation, they shouted for joy at what had just happened. They witnessed a miracle. They had a miracle happen to them. And this was their response that I read. And I'm going to skim through this song, okay? True confession, you know, I'm not going to read the whole thing, so I'm picking and choosing which parts to read. But I do that so you can hear this theme and what they're singing in these 18 verses. Verse 1, if you have your Bibles open, you can follow along. Verse 1, "He has triumphed gloriously." Verse 1, "The horse and rider He has thrown into the sea." Verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and my song." Verse 2, "He has become my salvation." Verse 3, "The Lord is a man of war." Verse 6, "Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power." Verse 6, "Your right hand shatters the enemy." Verse 7, "You overthrow your adversaries." Verse 7, "You send your fury." In verse 8, "At the blast of your nostrils." Verse 10, "You blew your wind." Verse 11, "Who is like you, O Lord? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders." In verse 12, "You stretched out your right hand." It wasn't Moses' hands stretched out that did this miracle. It was God's hand stretched out. Verse 13, you have led your strength to your holy abode. You have redeemed. Verse 13, you have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. Verse 17, you will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. And then verse 18, the end of it, the Lord will reign forever and ever. Did you catch a theme? What is this song about? This is all about God, friends. We witness a miracle, and our response is to say, wow, look at how wonderful you are. Not how special I am. The activity of God here in displaying his awesome power in their deliverance. This is God being described as a personal God. Moses speaks of God not in the abstract, but as a personal God, the God of their fathers. God is a covenant-keeping God. He is the greatest ruler. This is pure praise and a high expression of humble adoration. The people recognizing that even the greatest ruler in the world at that time, they witnessed his downfall. He is nothing compared to Jehovah, who saved them. Moses gives glory here to God and delight in him as their Savior and King. It was God alone who saved them from their enemies, and so God and no other receives the praise. When we praise God, we should always bring to mind these mercies of God. The work that he has done for us, the miracle that he has accomplished for us, the many ways that he has triumphed over our enemies, and the many times that he gives us grace to overcome our sin. And that, friends, is where this becomes personal then. Because what does this mean to us? You and I weren't there on the shores of the Red Sea that day, witnessing this miracle. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians, Paul makes an interesting statement. He uses the word baptism to describe what happened here. He says, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers. He says, our fathers were all under the cloud, they all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. So Paul compares this beautiful miracle in Exodus to baptism. He's saying that baptism, likewise, is a miracle. Just as the Israelites passed through the Red Sea miraculously and emerged a new people saved from slavery, he says they were baptized by going through the sea, by walking safely on dry land through the walls of water on either side. And so for you and me, we would say then too, baptism is a miracle. Baptism is a miraculous working of God where he brings his good grace and mercy to us. It is poured out on us. The waters of baptism become our exodus, where we are delivered and freed from slavery to sin. We are dead in the water, so to speak. Colossians calls us dead. He says there, Paul does, you who were dead in your trespasses, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And so what baptism does is it unites us to Christ and to his work, where we are brought then from death to life. And so by faith in Christ, then, looking to him, we are saved. We are baptized into Christ, and it's a miracle. We are saved by God's mercy and grace to us in Christ. We stand by and we see our salvation. The Lord will fight for you. You only need be silent. Baptism isn't the only picture here. This whole thing is a type of what Christ would ultimately do for you. Moses lifted up his arms, and the waters were parted, and the people passed safely to freedom. There's an author and a pastor by the name of Michael Horton, and he says this: as Christ endured the tsunami waters of God's judgment and came out alive on the other side, a wall emerges on either side as Christ holds up both his hands on the cross, so that we can pass safely to the other side. By Christ's finished work on the cross, he made a way through so that we could pass safely to the other side. That's the miracle of what he has done for you. And in that other side, then, we have a wilderness wandering, this life, ultimately leading us to another river, another body of water, to our final exodus, when we pass into heaven itself. You know, this song in Exodus 15 reappears later in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, where that turbulent Red Sea is now described as a sea of glass. And we are resurrected, brought from death to life. A miracle, right? Listen to these words from Revelation 15. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for in your miracle have been revealed. In that day, we will stand on heaven's side and we will sing, great and amazing are your deeds, O God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. This is the miracle of God's work in your life. For you, he sent his son to die, to make a way for you to pass from death to life, from slavery to freedom. That's good news. What he has done for you. That's why we sing. We sing because he has been so good to us. Not just today, but anytime we get together. We see what God has done, and it amazes us. It causes us to rejoice, to shout for joy at the great things he has done. Amen. Called in the ambassadors to sing about that good news.
I got a crown up in the kingdom, ain't it that good news?
Ain't it that good news?
I got a crown up in the kingdom, ain't it that good news?
Ain't it that good news? I'm gonna lay down this world, gonna shoulder up my cross, gonna take it home to my Jesus, ain't it that good news? Good news.
I got a robe up in the kingdom, ain't it that good news?
Ain't it that good news?
I got a robe up in the kingdom, ain't it that good news? I'm gonna lay down this world,
gonna shoulder up my cross, gonna take it home to my Jesus, ain't it that good news? Good news. I got a savior in the kingdom, ain't it that good news? I got a savior in the kingdom,
ain't it that good news? Ain't it that good news? I'm gonna lay down this world, gonna shoulder up on my cross, gonna take it home to my Jesus, ain't that good news? Good news, good news, good news, my Lord.
Ain't that good news?
Good news, my Lord. Ain't that good news?
Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for that good news, the good news of the grace that you have showered upon us, the good news that you have made a way so that we might pass safely to the other side. Oh God, how we praise you and love you and thank you for that today. I thank you for this group of young people. I pray that you would continue to bless them in their travels for the rest of the summer. Lord, I pray that you would watch over, protect, and keep them safe. Use them in a mighty way for your kingdom's work, oh God. Lord, I pray for those in our congregation who are hurting today, the many who are grieving the loss of a loved one. Lord, you know those situations, and I just pray that you would bring comfort and peace as only you can do. To those families. Lord, I pray for Ken Loken also. Continue to heal him. Give him comfort and rest for each day. Lord, I thank you so much for the beautiful gift of life and for blessing little Elijah Dahl too with your life, God. And I pray that you would be with him, watch over, protect, keep him safe, bless him and his mother and father too as they begin this new chapter in their lives. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do for us today. Hear us now as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive the benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pray.